Amen. Good morning. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Thank you. Don't give me a complex now, all right? Feliz año. Eso es. Did you get my water there, Bart? Thank you so much. Happy New Year. I felt a little weird on the 6th saying Happy New Year, so I Googled it. And you can say Happy New Year about 7 days into January. So that's okay. So what? It's the 6th, so I'm good, all right? They say that if you haven't seen somebody, if it's the first time you've seen them in the new year, you've got 2 weeks. So you can say Happy New Year. But I kind of felt in Venezuela it was like 3 days. You know, after 3 days, they kind of started laughing at you. You know, Happy New Year. You know, what are you doing that for? All right, what time is it? Time of New Year's resolutions. All right. Have you made your resolutions? And about the 6th of January is about the time when we've all broken our resolutions, isn't it? That's right. This year, man, I'm going to do it. I wanted to do it last year, and I just didn't do it, and I really want to, and we just break them. What do you think are the top three New Year's resolutions of North America? Weight loss. Exercise. What's the other one?
Smoking.
Quitting smoking, I take it. Okay, all right. Keep coming. You're doing good. Eating better, regular devotions. All right, let's put it up here. What do we got? Get in shape. Yeah, that's the number one most common year-by-year resolution is get in shape. Yeah, eat healthier. Very good. I guess that means less ice cream? I don't know. Boy, I ate a lot of ice cream over Christmas. I was at my daughter's house. She has 3 daughters. And there ain't nothing better in the whole wide world than 3 dips of vanilla ice cream with Hershey's chocolate all over it. Amen? Amen. Can I get an amen on that? And then lose weight. Yeah, lose weight. Do you talk to your bathroom scales like I do? I started to bring it, but it's made of glass, and I will knock that over before the morning's over, so don't worry about it. Here's what I do. It's not my bathroom scale. I talk to my bathroom scale. I get up. That can't be right. There's no way that that's right. And then what do we do? What do you do? What do I do? You step back. That's exactly right. You step back. Lord, take a half a pound off right now. Just go ahead. Do it. Step back up. Never changes. Never changes. All right. So it's a time of revolution. Revolution. It's a time of resolution. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And I got to change. And those are the top three. And it's time to think about what we want to be. Some of us want to be a better person. Some churches call themselves saints. I don't know why. Now, the word saint is in the New Testament. It's not very often. But you know, we're made saints. We don't make ourselves saints. We're made saints. And that reminds me of a story that I've been wanting to tell you for quite a long time. There were these 2 brothers in a small town, and they owned the whole town. Their father was a good businessman, and he just bought, slow but sure, he'd make some money, and he'd buy the bank building, and then he'd buy the savings and loan building, and then he'd buy something else. And pretty soon, this guy owned the whole town. And when he passed away, he made sure his widow was taken care of, and he gave everything to his 2 boys. And they were the meanest scoundrels in town. Lie, cheat, steal. They just bug anybody that owed them money, and they didn't want anybody to talk to them about the money they owed them. They would sell their grandmother for $1. Well, what happens? Lo and behold, life is life. One of them passes away. One of them dies. So the family gets together at Mama's house, and they plan the funeral, and they write it all out. And Mama says, you go down there, First Baptist Church, and you ask that preacher to do the service. Because we've been members there for 50 years. So the surviving brother, he goes down. And the preacher's waiting on him. He knew he was coming because they'd been there forever. And the preacher, we want you to do the service. He said, all right, I'd be glad to do the service. And he laid the paper down there in front of him. And he said, here's what we want. Here's the songs we want, the scripture. everything. Oh, that's great. I'll take care of all that. And they chatted a little while and visited. And then the brother said, I got one more thing I want to talk to you about. Somewhere in the service, I don't care where you say it, but somewhere in the service, I want you to call my brother a saint. And the pastor said, excuse me? He said, somewhere in the service, if you do me the favor, you just call my brother a saint. That'd mean so much to Mama. It really would, if you just call my brother a saint. And the pastor looked at him, and he'd been there a long time, and he said, I can't do that, and you know I can't do that, because everybody knows what you and your brother are. You're just not good people. You're here every Sunday, but I will not call your brother a saint. The brother got a little mad, red in the face. He's going, you know, it'd really mean a lot to Mama. Now, I really would like for you to, we've been here 60 years, and if you could just do this small favor for us. And the pastor said, I just cannot, and I won't do it. Got up, stormed out, slammed the door, went home, kicked the dog, yelled at his wife, went into his bedroom, went in the den, closed the door. He was mad right now because everybody said yes to him. He got anything he wanted. Got up, yelled at his wife, kicked the dog, went to work, slammed the door, held in his, hid out in his den. He was mad, mad right now. What am I going to do? About 10:30, the phone rings. What? I'll do it. Who is this? This is the pastor. I'll do it. You'll do what? I'll call your brother a saint. Pastor, don't mess with me. I'll call your brother a saint. Oh, pastor, thank you. And tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to write the church a $10,000 check, and I'm going to write you a $10,000 check. And the pastor said, don't worry about that. Just don't bother with that, but I'll do it. Hung up. Oh, he's so happy. He runs down to the coffee shop. He couldn't keep it a secret. He told the whole neighborhood, preacher's going to call my brother saint. Nobody could believe it. What? Preacher's going to call my brother saint. No way. Yeah. Preacher said he'd call my brother saint. Day of the funeral comes. Place is packed out. Standing room only. Because everybody wanted to hear that pastor call that man a saint. Music starts, family comes down the aisle. The brother's just doing this, you know. He's just so proud. Brother, preacher's going to call my brother saint. Everybody's going, yeah, we know, we heard. Preacher's going to call my brother saint. Preacher gets up, reads scripture. They sing a couple of songs. And the pastor started in on a sermon. And he ripped into that deceased brother. He said he was a mean, cheating scoundrel. He stole from people. He bought low, sell high. And he's just a scoundrel. And they were in church every Sunday. And one of them would sit on one side of Mama. And the other would sit on the other side of Mama. And being the multi-million dollar men that they were, every Sunday when the plate went by, they each put a dollar in the plate. And he went on and on and on. And he said, but compared to his brother down here, he was a saint. I meant nothing about pointing in this direction, okay? Isn't that great? He was a saint. Well, as a church, in life, New Year's comes, we're supposed to evaluate, we're supposed to think about it. It's time to look at our priorities, isn't it? It's time to kind of refresh our memory of what we're all about, what Center Point is all about, what the Bible's all about, what the gospel's all about. Let's read Matthew 28, 16 through 20. I'm a missionary. You should have been expecting this. When the missionary preaches, he preaches on Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Let's do something different. Let's read this together, shall we? Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, let's look at our priorities. Let's relook at our priorities. Some people here and in other churches would say that their reason for going to church is fellowship. They go for the fellowship. They go to feel good and to say hi to people and to have nice people around them. Well, let's remember one thing, that Jesus Christ did not die on a cross so that we could have sweet fellowship. Some people come for the worship. Some people come for the music. I enjoy the music here. I worship here. But Jesus Christ did not die on a cross so that we could have sweet worship. Some people come for good Bible study. And we have good Bible study here. We believe in the Bible. We say we are the people of the Bible. But Jesus Christ did not die on a cruel cross so that we could study the Bible better. Jesus Christ died on a cruel cross to save sinners so that they could spend eternity in heaven with him. Some people say that the last words that someone says before they die or before they leave are very important. Now, these are the last words of Christ before he ascended into heaven. And what did he say? What's the priority? What's the number one issue of our church, of our area? Make disciples. And then we want to make disciples who know how to make disciples. Let's look at Scripture to kind of see where the New Testament goes with this. 2 Corinthians 5:25, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer what? Live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So one of our resolutions is to evaluate our life, evaluate what we do, evaluate our finances, evaluate our time, and we no longer live for ourselves. Philippians 3:20, I want to know Christ. That's our priority for this year. I want to know Christ. I know there's more to that verse, but I just wanted to stop right there. We need to get to know Christ this year in a better way, or in a deeper way. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And this is my prayer. Paul's praying for his disciples. He's praying for his disciples who just turned right around and made more disciples. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, where do we make disciples? Where does the New Testament, what did Jesus say to where to make disciples? Make disciples of all nations, everyone. We make disciples not just of people who are like us, but everyone. Everyone of all natures, cultures, ways of thinking. We are to make disciples of those people in a way that they can receive and understand it. That's a key phrase. We need to share the gospel with these people and make disciples of them in a way that they can understand and receive it. Do you realize that about 90% of the world does not understand this? About 90% of the world has no idea what's going on right here. Because this is us, and this is our culture, and this is the way we've learned to do it. But about 90% of the world, or 90% of the lost world, does not relate to this. And they don't feel comfortable when they come here. That's why I do storying. That's why I tell stories to people. I tell them stories, and I have found that it is a way that they can receive it, they like to receive it, and they can try to understand it. And you lead people into understanding that. So maybe we need to kind of reevaluate the way we do this, or the way we do church, or the way we reach out? Are we reaching out? Did you know that in this church we have a missions offering? We collect a missions offering December and January. And we divide that by percentage. And 80% of that offering goes to international missions. A part goes to State Convention of Baptists of Colorado. Another part goes to Archuleta County. And another part we use here for evangelism and discipleship. Now you gave over $9,000 last year. I want to compliment you on that. I want to congratulate you. And as a missionary of 27 years, not one day did I doubt that you all were going to support me. I never slept a sleepless night for support. I knew you would take care of me. I knew it. So thank you for that. 27 years you support us. We can't stop now. We can't give up. We are hearing stories of people who are coming to Jesus out of some of the most difficult places in the world. We have people coming out of ISIS who they leave ISIS and they become a Christian. They leave the Middle East we get into the Middle East in non-missionary ways and we share the gospel. And in the Middle East, there are people who are disillusioned with their religion and they are accepting Christ and they're saying, I now have peace. Even if they kill me, even if they cut my head off, I have peace that I've never had before. Now, folks, we're only halfway there. We're only halfway of the $10,000 goal that you have set. So I say, let's keep going, and let's keep giving, and let's keep those missionaries on the field, face-to-face, incarnational missions, and let's get the job done when Jesus comes. Amen? It's like Paul says, I don't want to arrive and you're embarrassed that the offering isn't ready. When Jesus comes, we can be ready saying we gave to missions until you came. Amen? We need to be a mission focused. And I'm just giving an introduction. Eric mentioned missions, making disciples last Sunday. I'm giving an introduction of making disciples today, and we're going to leave it to our pastor to come, and then he's going to present our year emphasis of making disciples who can then make disciples. Why is this so important? Because those are the very words that came out of Jesus' mouth. Make disciples. He didn't say go evangelize on the street corner, did he? He said make disciples. Many things that we do. Jesus is saying, I said, make disciples. Is the picture the next one? The cost. Let's look at the cost. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, there it is. Isn't this a great picture? A friend of mine sent this, posted it on Facebook. Why didn't Jesus, I'm not reading correctly, Jesus didn't make disciples this way. Why do we? What do you see? What do you see there? Out loud, just say. What do you see? What? Study. Yeah, you're studying. Class. Desks. I wish you could see this picture better. One guy's picking his nose. Another guy's balancing the pencil. You know, it's like a fourth grade class. The two to the right there in front of Jesus, they're writing notes on each other's notepad. And Jesus is standing there with an easel, and he's got his hands like, why aren't you guys listening to me? This is not disciple making. This might be Bible study, and I'm not knocking Bible study, and I'm not knocking anything that we're already doing. I'm just saying, let's look and let's prioritize and let's evaluate. Let's make disciples. How did Jesus make disciples? He walked with them. He talked with them. They got out of those desks, and they said, let's go to Galilee, or let's go to Nazareth, or let's go over here. And then something would happen, and then he would teach them how to heal a blind man. It's interesting in Acts when Peter and John went to the temple and bumped into the lame and blind man. If you read that and you compare Peter's words to Jesus' words, Peter is quoting Jesus. He learned his lesson. I say to you, rise and walk. And the man did. So we pour our lives into people. We meet with them during the week, not just on Sunday morning. That's good, but it's not the best. And you need to continue that. The cost is that we give ourselves up. We die to self. Luke 6:47. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. Do you remember what this verse comes before? There's a little story that Jesus tells, and this is the verse he says, and then he tells a little story. Do you remember? I didn't. I remember the story of the house that man that built his house upon the rock. Remember that story, that song? Man that built his house on the sand, and the man that built his house on the rock. Now, I did not remember that this verse came before that. And Jesus is using this verse to say, you are like, he read this and he says, you will be like not the man that built his house on the sand, but built his house on the rock. The plan of Jesus is always simple. It's not easy. It's always simple. What does it say? You hear my word. Come to me. Come to me. Hear my words. Put them into practice. This could be our theme for this year. Come to me. What does that mean? Come to me. Accept me as Savior and Lord. Some of you this year, you need to get right with God because you already know you need to. And you come Sunday after Sunday. We love you. We're glad you're here. But you need to get right with God this year. So why not do that today? Accept Jesus. Come to me. And then what does he say? Come to me. Follow me. Follow me, or beside me, get behind me, follow me. I'm going to show you how to do this. What do? You don't need to worry about what to do. Jesus is going to show you what to do in his word, day by day. Hear my words. Boy, would I love to do a survey right now. I almost did a survey of how many minutes a day each one of you spend reading your Bible. We are the people of God and people of the word. Amen? We say that. We're people of the word. But do we read it? So think about that. How many minutes a day would you say that you read the Bible? Now, how are you going to know what to do if you don't read the manual, right? There's a man in this room. There is a man in this room who read his Bible cover to cover last year twice. That begs the question, why? To saturate his mind with the word. Just saturate. Just read it. Just saturate it. Now, I could say to you, a typical Southern Baptist preacher would say, you need to read the Bible this year. And we should. We should. Some of you should read the whole Bible this year. Amen? Okay, that's two or three of you. Okay, that's okay. That's good. We're making progress. Some of you should read the entire Bible this year. It's only the sixth. You're not too far behind. You're not behind, period. Just get started. Some of you may need to just read 5 minutes a day. Just start there. There's nothing wrong with that. We're not legalists here. We don't bang people over the head. Maybe some of you should read the whole Bible this year. Some of you should read the Bible for 5 minutes. 5 verses a day. Just do it every day. Some of you, maybe a chapter a day. I would suggest you read the Gospel of John. If you don't read the Bible and you want to read the Bible, don't try to read the whole Bible. Just make a goal of reading the Gospel of John. And PJ's not here, so I can say whatever I want, right? If you want to read part of the Old Testament, that's okay. Go through the index. Pick four books of the Old Testament this year. Just 4 books, 5 books. Don't leave out Genesis, and please don't leave out Ruth. Whew, that's a powerful book. And there's some great stories. If you're parenting, there's some great stories in the Old Testament that you need to read. So just pick 4 or 5 books out of the Old Testament this year, and that'd be great. Amen. That's a great goal. Yes? Amen. That's a great goal. Or just read the New Testament. Read the Gospel of John. Just make a goal of reading the New Testament. If we are the people of God, we need to know the Word so that we can obey our Master. Some of you need to get saved, need to find a mentor to guide you. There are some women in this church who, if you request it, they will pray with you and they will try to find you a mentor, a female mentor. What does Paul say in his epistles? Older women should teach younger women. Older men should teach younger men. And if you truly desire that, we will try. We're not going to guarantee it. We will try to find you a mentor. Because everybody should be a disciple receiving, and every believer should be discipling. It's a process. Otherwise, you become the Dead Sea. If it's just flowing in, you're dead. Spiritually, it's just not going anywhere. So find a mentor, be a mentor. And it is happening. I know of some cases where an older woman is meeting weekly with a younger woman, or meet monthly. Just get together and encourage. Some of you need to get serious about baptism. Now, last time I mentioned baptism, I got myself in big trouble. But here's what the Bible says, okay? Some of you need to get really serious about baptism. Some of us are Christians. We are Christians. We've received Christ as our Savior. And then I'll be talking to people, and are you baptized? No, I've never been baptized. How long ago did you receive Jesus? Oh, about 20 years ago. Friend, listen, here's the biblical model. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Get into the Bible and prove me wrong. The biblical model of baptism is immediate. It's immediate. Well, I want to understand it. No, that's not the issue. Understanding baptism is not the issue. The issue of baptism is obedience. Philippian jailer. Well, let me go back. Where was I? Where's the first one? Cornelius. Peter went to Cornelius' house. He received Christ. Baptized. Philippian jailer. Received Jesus. Baptized. Lydia. Paul shared Christ with Lydia. Baptized. And then you get into the Word, and then you start understanding things. And friend, there is only one New Testament mode of baptism, and that is immersion. And Jesus was immersed. He sets the example. It's your first order of business. It's the first act of obedience. You receive Christ, you're baptized. Now, some people struggle with, I've already been baptized, I've been sprinkled, I've been, well, let me tell you, my mother was baptized 3 times. I know she's in heaven, you know. She's baptized in the Methodist Church, Lutheran Church, and when she married my dad, German Baptist, I mean, you talk about strict now, she got baptized by immersion because she wanted to be a member of that church. So she got baptized. There's only one mode of baptism. I would encourage you to call the office, make an appointment with the staff, and let's sit down and talk. You know, we're not going to hold you down. We're not going to force you to be baptized. We don't do that here. But we will look at God's Word and see what it says. Church membership. Some of you come, you're just here all the time. You're just here all the time. And then I ask you, I'm new here. You know, I'm still a rookie. I'm going to stretch that for a long time. I've been here a year. I'm still a rookie. Okay, I don't know everybody. I don't know everything. It's a great excuse. I'm just here new. You know, membership. And it's an issue for some. Let's be a member. Let's be part of the body. Let's get together. Let's be members together. Amen? Let's get baptized. Let's be members. Let's worship the Lord together. Be brothers and sisters in Christ. Woman walked into a Baptist church, walked up to another woman, and she says, what do I need to do to be a member here? And the woman says, well, you need to know Jesus as your Savior. And here we baptize by immersion. And I would highly suggest that you own a 9x13 casserole dish. Or two. Can I get an amen on that? Now, here's the important thing. Lordship and authority. Lordship and authority. Some of us just need to come to the point in our life and say, I'm playing church. I'm just playing church. And Jesus really isn't my Lord. I don't even know what that means. I like it here. I come here. I'm loved here. I love others. But Jesus is not my Lord. And this year, I need to get that right. And I need to become a disciple of Christ. Will you help me? And the response of this church is yes. All right. I want to show you, I want to give you an example of how I see or how others have seen addition or multiplication. Talking about making disciples, okay? Now, don't make me drag you up here, all right? Let's look at addition. Let's say that I'm on staff here. You've graciously allowed me to work here. I work with the Hispanics, and we're trying to plant a Hispanic church. But let's just say that I go out. I like to go out and win people and disciple people. So I'm going to go out, and I'm going to share Christ with this gentleman. You're going to come up here. Don't make me drag you. Okay? I don't want to hurt you. So Gordon and I, we get together. I disciple Gordon. He gets baptized. He becomes a member of the church. Amen? Yeah. It's great. Go, Forrest. You're doing a great job. All right, we're disciples. And so I disciple him, and all right, okay, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to get somebody else. Joe, come on up here. You don't have to say anything or do anything. Please don't make me drag you up here, okay? I meet with Joe. I disciple Joe, doing the great stuff. He's learning the Bible. He's baptized. Everything's going great. Amen? We got two people here. Isn't that great? All right, well, I don't want to be prejudiced on this side, so I'm going to walk over here. Chuck, come on up here. I share Christ with Chuck. Chuck gets baptized. Chuck becomes a believer. We're meeting together. We're studying the Bible together. He's growing. Things are going great. He comes every Sunday. He puts a dollar on the plate every time the plate goes by. It's just great. Am I doing a good job or what? Can I get an amen, please?
Amen.
All right, thank you. I'll stay. All right, if I'm doing a good job. This is addition. Now let me show you, let the Word of God show you multiplication. Would you go over to that side? Now, I've discipled them, but the difference is, look at when you have discipled someone to disciple. Now all four of us are going to go out, and we're going to bring somebody up, okay? Would you come up here with me? Remind me of your name again.
Jude.
Jude. Good to see you. All right. Just right there at that section, Chuck, right there is fine. You don't need to walk. Now, if it had just been me, how many people would be standing up here? Four or five.
Notice I'm the only one that got a lead.
Don't even go there, okay? Don't even go there.
I'm the only one that got someone taller.
You see, competition just enters immediately, you know? One more time. Let's do it. One more time. They have been discipled, and they know how to disciple someone to become a disciple. One more trip. Everybody, let's go get somebody. Come on, friend. Come on, Paul. Ooh. All right. Oops. Sorry. Do you see what's happening? Now, I could spend my whole life. You could spend your whole life discipling, and that's great, and that's what God wants. But let's make disciples who can make disciples. Amen? Do you see what's happening? This is Jesus' plan right here. Our plan is addition. Christ's plan is we're all disciples. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for the snow, for the moisture, for the way you bless us, Lord, with just natural beauty. Thank you. I thank you for every person that's here this morning. It's a great group of people, and we've fellowshipped, and we've studied the Bible, and we've done all this stuff, but Lord Jesus, we want to follow your plan, and that is to make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a happy new year. Have a great week.
Mine are already out getting more disciples.
He's still bragging. Let's get out of here. Have a great week. Love you.
Thanks, Mac.